Faith on the Field show presented by Karen University. I'm Rob Motti with Pastor Kyle Horner, Doug Horton, and Remy Motti. Our guest this week is going to be New England Patriots offensive lineman Shaq Mason. His full name is actually Shaquille Olajuwon Mason. You guys think his parents were basketball fans?
That's awesome.
Right? Shaquille Olajuwon Mason. He goes by Shaq. We're going to talk about a topic that I know I need help in because I am a very impatient person. I don't like waiting in lines. I don't like waiting in traffic. I don't like waiting on hold. Like, sometimes when I'm waiting on hold and you just want to talk to a human being.
Oh, it drives me crazy.
I start hitting the zero.
I do too. Like, hit the zero all the time.
Yesterday, he hit me insane with that.
19
like, times.
Just hoping it works.
It was zeros. And then yesterday when I did it, it went like silent. I'm like, oh man, I got to start all over. And I know finally the person came on.
That's beautiful.
I don't want to wait on hold. I don't want to talk to a robot. I want to talk to a person. I don't like waiting in a none of us like waiting in a doctor's office. You want to be seen. You know where I really hate waiting? Rain delays.
Oh.
Rain delays when you wait 52 minutes for the start of a baseball game, then it goes 4 hours, and I come home at 1:30 in the morning.
There's like 100 pitches thrown before the third inning.
Although I'm not feeling so bad while you're having a rain delay while there's free food in the box. You know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying, Remy? I don't feel so bad for the... It's so horrible that I have to wait in a rain delay while they're feeding me free food.
I got to say this. The Phillies hooked up the writers at this rain delay, and I didn't enjoy any of it because I'm trying to eat clean. Here we go. Sixth inning. We get an announcement. Cheese steaks are in the dining room.
Hallelujah.
And you see the mass exodus. So two innings later, pizza is now available in the media room. I'm like, in the dining room, they got pizza, they got cheese steaks, and I'm sitting there eating Brazil nuts and hazelnuts and almond. But I got through. But I don't like to wait out things. It gets to the point where last week on Mother's Day, I had in my mind that I wanted to redo this wall in our house. On Mother's Day, I wanted to put pictures up.
Sure.
So I wake up, it's raining, it's nasty, the girls aren't feeling good, they can't, they don't want to go out. Remy wants to sit on the couch with them.
I had a headache in the morning that was awful. Like, what do you mean to do? I just wanted to sit.
So instead of sitting on the couch enjoying Mother's Day with the family, I'm like, run into the store to print out pictures, coming back. She's got the frames already. I'm like, I got to do this because I now allotted this day to do it.
Yeah, you only have so much time.
Wait. They don't know this about you. He lives for printing pictures.
That's new information.
Like, I love taking pictures. This man lives for printing pictures.
She's got 19,000 photos on her iPhone,
19,000,
right?
Literally. Not an
If I don't print them, we'll never see them.
That's true.
So there are memories
every day
that are on her phone that we may never see again. Someone has to take the initiative and print them. So I print out a few of them and put them in frames. She picks out the frames and picks out whatever. And that's how we preserve memories.
I'm gonna
give you some props because it sounds like faith to me because we have a lot of word inside of us. Come on, but until you put it into action, it doesn't come into the world around us.
Right.
See what I'm saying?
Okay.
You're just trying to activate faith on Mother's Day. I got you, brother.
Exactly. See?
Come on.
I get the wall done. I get the baby, the girls' playroom done. Put their princess stuff
up. It does look beautiful.
And I'm like, okay, see, I'm done. But I'm so impatient. It has to be done now. I don't care that it's raining like crazy.
Yeah.
I'm going to run out to the store. I'm going to get everything I need. I'm not working on it tomorrow. I want it done today. And by the time I finished, it was time for Game 7 of the Eastern Conference Semifinals, Sixers and Raptors. I'm like, oh, wow, I never had time to sit on the couch and enjoy anything today. Now I'm going to go downstairs and I'm going to watch the game. The week before, had to do, I wanted to mulch the yard, mulch the front of the house. All right, so I gave myself 2 days to do it.
You basically can't sit down. 75
bags later.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. 75 bags later, about 13 trips to the store.
Yeah, always.
Because
you couldn't transport them all at once. Absolutely right, yeah.
Finished the job myself. And then the next day, I was like in bed all day because I couldn't move. My back hurt.
Yeah, 2 days,
my neck hurt.
Actually, you couldn't move.
Like, I was like, okay, you know what? Last year we paid for it. Next year we're paying for it. I'm not doing it again. But all of this is to say, like, I'm just that impatient of a person. Mm-hmm. When I put a task in front of me, I want to finish it, and I want to finish it right away. And I think many of us are that way, not just in our chores, in our tasks that we want to get done, in our jobs, in our work projects, in our daily lives. But I think many of us can be oftentimes impatient in our prayer request for God. Mm-hmm. We pray for something, we have a request, and we want it answered right away. But sometimes what we ask for, what we're praying for, isn't what God wants for us. Or sometimes we need to just wait on it. We need to wait it out. And I want to call this show today, Wait It Out, because whether it's in life, it's in tasks, it's in chores, it's in whatever you're doing, sometimes you have to wait it out. But when it comes to prayer, God's timing is always better than our timing. And if what we're asking for doesn't align with His will for us, we have to wait it out, and we may never receive it. And there's a couple verses that I was looking at, Romans 12:12. It says, rejoice in hope, be patient in tribulation, be constant in prayer. So continue to pray, continue to ask, but you got to be patient, especially in times of tribulation. Psalm 27:14 says, wait for the Lord, be strong and take heart, and wait on the Lord. And then this one I love, 2 Peter 3:9. The Lord is not slow in keeping His promise, as some understand slowness. So sometimes we're like, man, He's so slow. God, when are you going to answer this prayer? When am I going to get that raise? When am I going to get that promotion? When am I going to feel better? When is this going to happen? When am I going to climb out of this? But maybe He's trying to teach us something through that time period. And that verse concludes, instead, He is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. So I want to talk about today, we're going to talk about today and address waiting it out. Let's wait on it. Like, it's as impatient as we all can be. I explained some of my impatience. Waiting it out is part of the process with our prayer life and in just about everything that we're doing in life.
Yeah, I mean, I'm so like you. I am so impatient. I hate it. I hate bad customer service. I hate when I have to wait in line at the store. I'm horrible. And the truth is, I make fun of it more than I probably should address it, because I probably should address it in my life. But I think when it comes to God, at least the way that I see it so often, is that impatience is really a love issue that disguises itself as a control issue. Because mm-hmm. what we say is, I just want to, you know, I just have control issues. No, you actually have a love issue. And the reason why I say that is because, you know, my son has a birthday coming up in November. And so for his birthday present, I'm going to take him to Disney World. We're going to run a marathon together, because that's something we want to do together, have a lot of fun. Yeah. So although that's coming up in a couple months, you know, he knows that he's already asked for that, or I've already said yes to it. Mm-hmm. He doesn't have to come to me every day and go, daddy, will you please take me? Will you please, if I'm good enough, what do I have to do to make sure that you take me? Yeah. We talk about it every day, but, you know, we're so excited what we're going to do, where we're going to eat, what rides we're going to go on, how we're going to live that out. But he, because he knows I love him, he doesn't have to, he's just waiting for the time, the right time to come.
He has that trust.
Correct.
That
it's
it
trust.
Will happen.
So
it
trust
will
actually enable, trust comes from love. If I know that God loves me, I know that he is working all things out together for my good, right? And now that doesn't mean it always feels good or looks good the way that we would conceive it, but it's always for the good and benefit of his glory, by the way, not even just for my glory, but his glory. So that's what I'm saying. I think a lot of times when the answer hasn't come, we either revert to begging God, please, or trying to convince God, what do I have to do to get, you know, good enough to do this? Or we just get so frustrated with God that we abort the dream before it's time to be born. You know, we see this so often in people's lives where they have a dream of God. You know, the Bible says that that Hagar took Ishmael and laid him down because she thought he was going to die, and went out and began to beg God and cry out to God.
Right.
She was like, oh my gosh, it's going to die. So I don't want to be near it when it dies. I can't be near my dream when it's dying.
Right.
And yet in that midst, God said, I've got different plans, and showed up in a powerful way. But I think a lot of times we lay our dreams down and abort them too quickly,
right.
Because we don't know how much God loves us and are patient enough to wait for that answer.
That's why we really need to look in the scriptures, because if you look at the people that God called and you look at their lifespan, right? Mm-hmm. Moses, 40 years, in the wilderness, right? Even Jesus didn't start his ministry until he was 30,
correct.
Right? Yeah. And then you start looking at you know, Noah, how long did it take them to build the ark?
Oh, correct.
Right? Like, yeah. If you just look at the timelines of some people, like, there are years and decades.
Abraham, 20 years before the answer
right.
comes.
But that's not how we look yeah. at it. You know, we have this narrow perspective of, I want it now.
Correct.
Right? iPhones and, you know, technology yeah. gives us things so quickly now. I'll be guilty. Even coming here today, I went under a bridge and hit a bunch of potholes. And I'm like, and I literally said out loud, seriously, this is America. We can't fix this road.
We go to the moon, you know, but we can't fix the road.
I'm like, when are you going to fix this road, right?
And it's, it was just 2019.
It was just for a second.
I was like, this is
yeah.
America. You know, but being in Haiti or being in other countries, oh, yeah. like, that's the norm. And so I think it's a matter of perspective, too, yeah. when we think about God's timing. But Kyle, I want to ask you a quick question, because when we look at Romans 12:12, Rob, yeah. I think it's a great verse. Rejoice in hope, be patient in tribulation. And I think, if we're worried about potholes and we're worried about, you know, mulching, we're worried about doing some of these small things yeah. in life that are taking our time, patient in tribulation, right? Like that's hard, because we want the pain to end. We want the yeah. suffering
Always.
To end, right? Can you talk a little bit about tribulation and, like, you know, because
yeah, yeah.
those words mean a lot more when you go through a desperate time
yeah,
in life.
No doubt.
And I'm sure there's a lot of listeners that are out there that have a different perspective about pain and suffering. Because, you know, I was talking to a friend this week. His wife's going through a really difficult time. And he goes, you know, things that I thought were important before really don't matter
yeah,
as much.
They fade away.
He goes, like, dude, that's not even going to be a blip on my screen
He's
right now.
He's not worried about hanging pictures on a
yeah,
wall.
Yeah, right, exactly.
Or laying
yeah.
mulch at this point.
Yeah.
Or just the
yeah.
time of the day, what I'm going through, like the major things in life are what are taking his time. So when
Definitely.
We talk about tribulation, just give us some insight on tribulation.
Well, I think those things. Well, first of all, let me just say that pain is relative to everyone. So, you know, when someone's going, when you're 15 or 16, you're going through a breakup, you know, the person that you thought you were going to love the rest of your life, right? It's the end of your life. You get a pimple before prom. You know, as an adult, you just go, come on, get a little perspective. But as in that moment, it is painful for that person. So I don't ever want to marginalize pain for people when they go through things. I do think that, the larger you begin to understand tribulation, the larger the perspective you get on life is in and of yourself. Paul's writing to a church in Rome that is being fed to the lions. So yeah. the Nero is burning them at the stake, literally to light up his, he would put them on stakes and light them on fire to light up his night dinner parties. So, I mean, this was not, hey, I have a hangnail, or I had an argument with my boyfriend or girlfriend. This is real tribulation. But in that, regardless of the tribulation that you're going through, I think if you can step back and actually see the perspective of what life is and that God has this, tribulation always gives you an opportunity to understand the God who's bringing you through the trial. Mm-hmm. So, do you remember Jesus? I think we talked about this already on the show, but the disciples, Jesus sends the disciples out in the middle of the lake, right? And he goes up on the mountaintop to pray. Storm comes. The Bible says they are rowing hard at the oars.
Right.
They think they're going to die. It is absolutely a nightmare situation for them, right?
Yeah.
Jesus comes walking on the water. He's going to walk, which I love. He's going to walk past them, right? I'm going to walk past them. He's not even going to, I'm just going to walk past them. They'll figure it out.
I bet he had some swag to that.
That's awesome.
I can see him walking like Jimmy Butler would.
Totally. Exactly. He's got his theme music playing. It's the thunder and lightning. It's awesome. So he's walking by him, and that tribulation gave them an opportunity to have a different revelation of Jesus.
Right. Mm-hmm.
They had seen him do all sorts of miracles. They had seen him teach, heard him teach. They had seen him heal the blind and raise the dead. But in that moment, that gave them an opportunity to have a different revelation. I think every tribulation gives us the opportunity to have a different revelation of who Jesus is.
I think that's why there's always a distance between the time you pray and the time you receive your miracle.
Absolutely.
And that time, that's the time Jesus uses to do something in your life, because it's about the process. It's not about the destination for him. It's never about that end result. It's
Always.
About the process. And if he doesn't take you through a process, then you miss the point and he doesn't do anything
Correct.
For you.
Correct.
Like, you don't change as a person. You're just a robot now. Like, here's a request. Here's my answer. Done. Let's move on to the next request. It doesn't work that way.
Absolutely.
I have a testimony, though, from like a year ago. I got this pain in my jaw. And it's called something called TMJ.
Mm-hmm.
it's like a dysfunction in your joint and whatever. So a year ago, like, my jaw started to just do this popping noise, and the next thing you know, I can't even open my mouth to chew any food. And if you know me, you know that's a really that's a really bad thing for me, because I love
to
eat.
By the way, she was a superhero through the whole process. I didn't even know this. Like, I didn't even know you're going through that pain, and then, like, after it's all, I'm like, wow.
Yeah, so a year ago, this whole thing started, and as he just said, I don't complain much about stuff, because what I do is I resort to the one thing I know that's going to work,
right?
Which is prayers.
Yeah.
Because I went to my dentist, and he had me do this awful thing. It's called a guard for your mouth.
Uh-huh.
It's like a torture device that
you wear
at night.
It is a torture device, by the way. It is.
It's a torture device.
Yes, agreed.
So after paying $300 for it, I literally threw it in the trash. Because I was like, I was like, no, thank you. So I was like, yeah, we're not going to play this game, all right? We're going to play the prayer game, all right? It's going to happen.
Yep.
So I prayed and prayed, and here's the thing, though, that I do. I received my miracle in my soul.
Yeah.
I received my healing. I already said to myself, I'm healed. I'm done. Thank you, Jesus, for this healing. It's been a year. I have not seen my healing till a week ago. It's been a year. I just went to my dentist last week. He goes, how's it going? You've been using your guard, right? I'm like, nope. I throw that thing in the trash. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
He's like, have you been doing your exercises? I'm like, nope. That makes it worse. So he's like, so what's going on? He's like, I was like, no, it's prayers. I just prayed. And he started laughing. I'm like, you can laugh all you want.
Yep.
It's prayers. Even though I think he is a Christian. But anyway, so I received my miracle a year after I prayed.
Absolutely.
So, but in that year.
It manifested. You received it immediately.
Oh, I received it immediately.
It became manifest a year later.
A year later.
Yeah, absolutely.
But this is how prayers work. And a lot of people give up on their prayers and their dreams way too quickly before it manifests because of that. They give up on a process. There's always a process. One thing I learned from this is that God wanted me to speak about stuff that I did not speak about. And he wanted me to open my mouth. And that's why that's why the devil was trying to attack me in the area where I'm supposed to be speaking from.
That's good.
So that's what I really learned from this. And funny thing is, when I started talking or joined the show with you guys here, is when I started seeing release and process and seeing the healing come about.
Wow.
And it's just finally now that I'm going, wow, I don't have any pain. You don't understand, guys.
Yeah.
This was a day and night pain. It was like an awful pain.
No, TMJ is horrible.
It's horrible.
Yeah.
It's a really bad pain.
Yep.
You can't eat. You can't do anything. And it hurts just because. So now that I am just talking about his goodness and grace all the time, and I'm sharing my story and sharing just my life with people and talking about Jesus, it just all came together for me. And I'm like, this is why this happened.
Yep.
So there's always a process. There's always a reason. There's always why. And you have to really sit down with yourself and know why this happened. Why is this happening? Because there's a reason for it. And it's always so beautiful. And there's always a bright side. And just you have to believe that your miracle is coming.
Absolutely.
Always. It's on its way. Because you talked about it, right? You prayed.
Absolutely.
What is prayer?
It's on its way. That waiting is
oh, the waiting was horrible.
You know, when you're an impatient person, and most of us, I think, are inclined to be impatient.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I don't know anyone who says, yeah, you know what? I like to sit around and wait. Or, yeah, whenever it gets done, it gets done. You know, I'm sure there's people like that. It's the waiting on that process. It's the waiting on that promise. Like, we can relate this to basketball and look at the Philadelphia 76ers and that process. They called it the process, trusting the process and going through Coach Brett Brown and Joel Embiid and everyone else, like going through a 10-win season, going through being the worst team in basketball for 2-3 years.
Yes.
And look at the fruits of that process. And some people will argue, like, tanking in basketball, but they weren't content being a team that was going to be a 6-7 seed every year. They wanted to build something that could be a championship team. They put together, there was a process there, and they were willing to endure that process for the greater good. And it may not completely have manifested an NBA championship yet this season, but they have the pieces, they have the parts that will be a perennial contender, an annual contender for years to come, or so we think. When it comes to our prayers and it comes to our requests and it comes to what we're asking God for, we have to really take a step back and think about that process. As mm-hmm. you talked about, like you learned through that process.
So much.
And
yeah.
if we're not learning through that process, if we're granted everything that we ask God, it's like he's this miracle worker, which he is,
yes.
who's
yeah.
going to fulfill our request. It's not like going to a restaurant, putting in your order, and expecting to receive your food within a 20-minute window or however.
Yes,
like God's not going to answer you in that timing. And I think so. We have to address the fact that what we're asking for oftentimes may not be what he wants for us because we have our own selfish desires. And maybe what I'm asking for is to benefit me. Maybe what I'm asking for, and we've talked about this before, if all your prayers come true at night, if all your prayers mm-hmm. come true, are you helping anybody else or is it helping you? And I try, and when me and my daughters are praying, like I always try and incorporate for them so they understand the importance of praying for everyone, praying for random things, praying not just for you and what you want, but praying for other people. And even to the point where Alexia likes to pray for rain and crops, and she loves to eat just like Remy does, and she wants her fruit and she wants all that stuff. So it's the waiting, and then it's the what are we asking for?
Yeah.
What are we asking for? Because if we're asking for what doesn't align with God's will for us, that prayer is not going to be answered.
Well, I think Rob, I think in that moment, you know, we see Jesus in the garden, and it's okay to be able to say to God, God, this is my will, mm-hmm. but ultimately surrendering to his will. Because if we only have to pray God's will, we're human. We don't always know that. We're not ever always going to get it right. So what if we think that way, it'll keep us from actually engaging. Mm-hmm. I love what Remy said. You know, this is, you know, Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. That's, by the way, that's all movement. Those are all movement words. They're not final destination words.
Right.
They become final destinations.
Right.
Truth becomes truth, but it's the process of learning it. The way, I'm the way. There's a movement.
A way. Yeah.
So I think that in this whole concept of prayer, we have to just be able to say, God, here it is. Expand. I love what you're talking, especially mm-hmm. teaching the girls. Prayer shouldn't be just all about me. Mm-hmm. It really should be about seeing other things and actually engaging in a bigger picture. But it really is then at the end of this submitting, God, look, this may be what I want, but ultimately what I want is your mm-hmm. what you want for my life, because I believe you love me the most in life.
Right.
You know, Remy, you said about miracles. Let me just, for one thing, I would just say I think there's three types of miracles. There's mm-hmm. creative miracle, which is instantaneously. He creates something instantaneously happens. Mm-hmm. So we don't always have to wait. Sometimes it is.
Oh, yeah,
and I've
absolutely.
Been a recipient of that.
Absolutely.
And I've
Same
seen
here.
A recipient of that. There's progressive miracle, which means, like you did, it manifests over time.
Mm-hmm.
And then there, what we refer to as beyond the veil miracles, is the fact that some things will never be healed until we cross the veil. But we will spend all eternity completely healed. This is a small period of time. So when we say God's not faithful, I'm like, the majority of your existence, God is going to have healed you, set you free, and delivered you. But, when we were talking about prayer, I was thinking about a time I went to Kiev, and it was the first time I went to Kiev. This was years ago, and it was in the middle of February. It was freezing, snow all over the ground. I was speaking at a conference, and I was running late for the conference due to some stuff. And I hopped in the car with my driver, and there were two babushkas, two older grandmoms that were like in this one road. They were so cute, right?
Aww.
But they were just meandering in the middle of this one lane road, right? They were just, no rush. My driver's beeping, get out of the way. He's yelling. I'm like, hey, come on. I got to go. We got to go. They're not moving. They're not even showing any sign that they even recognize, right? We're so frustrated.
We're older.
Right? So you talk about impatience.
Yes.
And I'm like, come on. I got this going. I have to be there. I've got these things.
Yeah.
So, we're freaking out. And eventually they get to the side of the road. And as we drive by, I look over and I see one of the ladies signing to the other lady who was signing back because they were both deaf.
Oh.
And then you feel like a total idiot, right? And then I was realizing, right, I was getting so frustrated, but I wasn't speaking their language. I was getting frustrated that they weren't moving, but I wasn't speaking their language.
Yeah.
And I think sometimes that's what happens in prayer. We get frustrated that God's not doing what we think he should do.
Mm-hmm.
We're frustrated that situation's not changing. But are we actually stopping to speak his language back to him?
Mm-hmm.
You know, the Bible says in Romans 8 that the Spirit who searches the things of God, he knows the heart of God, actually mm-hmm. manifests himself inside of us
mm-hmm.
and will pray through us in ways that is speaking out, crying out the heartbeat of God.
Right.
I just think that Paul says in Philippians, we with prayers and petitions, making your request known to God, right? With thanksgiving.
Yes.
I think that a lot of times, if we're honest, mm-hmm. we have a belief that God's going to do something. We have a desire that God's going to do something. Yes. But we probably have spent very little time speaking the language of God, praying,
mm-hmm. yeah,
crying out to him. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and seek my face and pray, I will hear from heaven. I will hear the land. If we're honest, I think Christians have a concept of prayer, but they don't have a lifestyle of it.
Yes, that is very true.
Do you think that God cares? God does care more about the process than he does the outcome.
Always.
Right? Because he's always, because I think when we look at the outcome, sometimes the best miracles and the best outcomes are ones that we couldn't even imagine happening.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Right? I mean, Remy, I mean, for your example, like you would never imagine that God would put you in a situation where you could reflect back and be like, wow, he took me this long through this journey because he has this for me, which may or not ever happen.
My whole life is like that, by the way.
Well, I mean, there's many different ways that we can look at that. But I guess that's one of the really, maybe the only thing that I really love about getting older is the reflection back on different times and saying, wow, this long period, this is what God was teaching me. This is what God was preparing me for during an 8-year period where you're doing a certain task or a certain job that you want to get out of. But God says, just be patient. I'm waiting, you know, for something that 10 years down the line, you're like, man, all those skills that I learned during that time are now going to come into play.
Absolutely.
So you talk about the Sixers, Rob, and they're going to judge whether the process was successful based on
a championship
or an outcome.
Ring. Yeah.
Because that's professional sports, right? Yeah. But too many times we liken our own lives to that, to where we just want to win or we want to get the raise or we want to get the prize.
Yep.
Yeah.
But what has God matured us and how has he grown us through those situations?
Well, sometimes I got confused with that too sometimes because we always go, oh, this was the will of God for me.
Yes,
when something bad happens, this is the will of God for me. And we stop at that and we take whatever is happening and just shut down and be like, all right, it's the will of God.
It's full acceptance, right?
It's bad, so I'm going to accept it. It's not that. The will of God is not ever for you to just sit still and receive bad things
misery.
It's not that. We have to understand that the will of God for you is not, again, it's not a destination. It's not written in stone, per se. It's more like, it's a process for him. To him is all about, okay, this is my will for you, but I want you to get creative too.
Yes.
I want you to move.
He's inviting you into that process.
He's actually inviting you, and he wants you to create it with him. So it's not about this guy is born this day, did that day, and on that day he's going to do this. Done.
In between,
because now we're, robots. Like, just, you know,
correct.
Moving along.
It's all about the in-between.
It's all about the in-between.
It's the dash, right?
So it's in the middle. It's the dash.
But the real complicated thing, Remy, is that everybody's going to handle it differently. Everybody has different personalities. Everybody has different sensitivities to certain things. And that's why there's no recipe for it. There's no, you know, prescription for, okay, well, you're going through this trial. You need to do it this way.
Yeah.
No.
You know, because
there's no formula.
But that's a frustrating thing is because what may have worked for you or what may have worked for me won't work for somebody else.
There's no formula. And I always want to say that because I'm a huge proponent of, I think we try to make faith into a formula, God into a formula, which is just cleaning up religion. Like, we're just nicer Pharisees, to be honest.
Right.
But I will say this is that doesn't mean there's not principles.
Yeah.
And I think what sometimes we do is we say, well, there's no formula. It's just everybody does their own thing. There are principles in faith.
Yeah.
You know, I waited patiently for the Lord. He inclined and heard my cry. He lifted me up. There are absolutely principles in the Word of God that draw you to him because ultimately I think that the challenge for us when it comes to prayer and expectation is that we have an expectation rather than an expectancy.
Yes.
We have an expectation of what God's going to do rather than an expectancy that God's going to do something.
Yeah.
And so our end games are usually different. Mm-hmm. Our end game is usually, God, I want you to do this, this one thing. And God's end game is, I want you to know me and make me known.
You know, it's funny, Rob, when you look back at Romans 12:12, you know, it says, rejoice in hope, be patient in tribulation, be constant in prayer. But if you move on to verse 13, contribute to the needs of the saints and seek to show hospitality. Like, wow, you're still helping other people out, even though you're going through a tough time, right?
Correct.
So that's what we have to look at. It's not just picking up certain verses that say, oh, I need to be patient in tribulation, but what do we do during those situations?
Correct.
Is, wow, we
principles.
Actually get out there and work on those principles.
Let me tell you, God will always have you actually stand there in the middle of your trial and watch someone else receive the miracles right in front of you.
Oh,
always.
I totally agree.
And he's going to watch you go, interesting.
Yeah, what are you going to do with it?
What are you going to do with that?
Jealousy?
Are you going to be
jealous? Yeah, exactly right. Yeah,
or are you going to rejoice and just say, if he can do it for them, they can do it. He can do it for me. Because there's always. God, that's what he does.
Yep.
He's so cool like that.
And in that, Remy, you're so right. And in that, if he does it for them, he can do it for me. That is absolutely what testimony should do, right?
Yeah.
We overcome by the blood of the Lamb, the word of our testimony.
Hallelujah.
But I will say this. It gets back to still, even in that, making sure that if he did it for them, he can do it for me. The do it for me is not expectation. It's,
no, it's
expectancy,
not expectation.
Right?
Yeah.
He's not going to do it the same way. He's not going to do it the same timing.
He does it different every time.
He does it different all the time because that's the beautiful nature of God.
Yeah.
We're going to be in heaven with him forever. Like, forever is a long time because there's no time.
That is true.
And how are we going to not be bored? Because he's going to just keep revealing his majesty over and over in something new.
Kyle, that's like so what you said a little bit ago about no matter what you're asking for in prayer, even if it is, like, we shouldn't be hesitant to ask because at least we're engaging.
Correct.
At least we're praying.
Correct.
At least we're asking, hey, God, this is my will for myself.
Yes.
I don't know if it's your will for me, but this is what I want. And you made the example of Jesus. Hey, this is, Father, if you could take this away from me.
Correct. I'm in.
But if this is your will, I'm in. I'm going to go, I'm going to go to the cross. So at least we're engaging. And I think that's important, is to be engaging, to be having those daily, constant prayer conversations. Because, I don't like to, I like to look at it as conversation more so than
100%.
Prayer.
100%. It is conversation.
Because for me, my background, what I knew, to me, prayer was reciting words.
Yep. Yep.
And reciting them over and over again with no heartfelt meaning or any kind of sincerity or being genuine about it. But I see people going through it. Oh, we're praying.
Yeah.
No, you're not. You're not praying. You're reciting words over and over again. But you're not having a conversation with the Lord. And my whole life changed when I went from praying to conversating.
100%.
And when I stopped praying and repeating things and living out the rituals and started inviting myself into a conversation with the Lord, my life changed dramatically. So I want to make sure people understand that when we're talking about prayer and putting your request forward to the Lord, like, if you're reciting words and if you're going through that, ask yourself, am I really having a sincere conversation with God?
Well, Rob, let me ask a question. You and Remy have two daughters. Isn't it a lot easier to help them through their issues if they talk to you than if they don't?
Yeah.
No,
right?
Don't.
Now, you don't expect your girls are five, right?
Yeah.
Going to be six. Mm-hmm. You don't expect them to see the world the same way you do or have all the answers. And they're going to have issues and insecurities and all that. But if they're talking to you, you can then help them see the things that to see life differently.
Yeah.
God doesn't expect us to see the world exactly like he does,
exactly,
to understand everything he does. We are his children.
Yeah.
But he can help us grow more and understand life more if we have a conversation with him than if we don't. So, your daughters can send you a text or give you a list of things that they'd really like.
Right.
But that's not really who they are. The way that you can help them through any issue is if they're willing to talk to you.
Yeah. Well,
the closer we are with God, the more we see those things, too.
Yeah. Absolutely.
We're more sensitive to be like, wow, I think I see how God could work in that situation. Where if we're not talking to him, we're not close to him in the scriptures and really allowing our mind to focus on that he's working through these difficult times, I think we'll miss it.
Agreed.
Up next, we're going to hear from Shaq Mason. This is Faith on a Field Show, presented by Karen University.
Karen University is a biblical university located in Langhorne, Pennsylvania, just 25 minutes from Center City, Philadelphia. With NCAA Division III athletics, a strong commitment to the arts, and majors in over 40 professional and academic fields, Karen prepares students to serve Christ as biblically minded, well-educated, and professionally competent men and women of character. Learn more at karen.edu.
Welcome back to Faith on the Field Show, presented by Karen University. Rob Motti, Doug, Pastor Kyle, and Remy. If you missed any of our episodes, Doug, tell them how to catch up.
You got to go to faithonthefieldshow.com. All our previous episodes from season 1, 2, and our current season number 3 are all online. Also, Rob's weekly blog is on there, so you can read about our weekly thoughts that are linked to our episode, and also share it out with everybody you know on social media through Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, please.
I also post all my speaking appearances. If you want to come out live and hear a message, make sure sure to check that out. Check out all of our social media. I'll let you know where I'm going to be. A couple weeks ago, I had the honor of hosting Carson Wentz's AO1 Foundation Philly Gala. It was a great night. Kyle, you were there, of course, on the stage. Enjoyed my time with you in that interview and that conversation, really. They raised money for one of the foundation's ministries, which is near and dear to your heart, Thy Kingdom Come, the mobile food truck that was formed in partnership with Pastor Kyle's Connect Church. That was such an awesome night. How much did that benefit Thy Kingdom Come, and what you guys can do going forward?
First of all, I want to give a shout out. You did a fantastic job.
Really did.
And you really did a fantastic job. And it's not an easy thing to do, to kind of navigate and host those nights. So from the perspective of the gala, it was for us, always the donations raised are beneficial, because the more that come in, the more we are able to give out. And, we have a new ice cream truck at the gala.
Who doesn't love ice cream?
I know. It's so cool. We have a new building to be able to host things and do more. So we're in the process of being able to do more. But for us, I think just getting the word out about what's going on in our city, in our area, as well as really encouraging people to chase the dream that God has for them, and really realize that look, we can't do everything, but we all can do something. And I think for us, that's the message that we want everybody to do. Look, there's 1,000 things out there. Be involved. For us, we were inviting people to be involved in the food truck, because we believe in helping people through distribution of food and the hope that Jesus can bring into their life. For us, it was gigantic.
Can I just say one thing real quick? Is the best thing I've ever seen about the food truck is the people that are volunteering on it, right?
Thank you.
It's great that, the food truck.
Genuine hearts, man.
It really is. But you look at the laborers that are preparing the food, that are getting up early, that are driving in the vans, that are doing all the setup, especially when you're going to events and, different towns. And that's a full day. It's a full day, maybe multiple days.
It's absolutely. For every, we don't use the word volunteer, for everybody who's serving in that ministry on that day is probably a 7-hour day.
Sure.
For anybody. That doesn't count the people who work full time for TKC that are making food for days beforehand and getting everything prepped, or all the teams that there. But at least, so when the truck rolls out for even just a 2-hour venue time, it's a lot of setup, tear down, and investment by people who are not getting paid.
And if you've ever been to one of those events, they're so friendly, they're so encouraging. They bring a lot of energy when they're there. You see it when people are coming to Christ.
We've seen over 600 people come to Christ.
That with they share. That's the main thing.
Yeah.
You're giving out food, you're sharing the love of Christ, but you're also sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ. And coming up, Carson Wentz has his second annual softball game, the charity softball game at Citizens Bank Park, and there's going to be. I enjoyed the home run derby last year.
Seeing
the Eagles players go. I love seeing the announcement of who's playing, who's going to be participating.
Ertz's talking again. I think he's talking a little trash right now. He's feeling he needs to redeem himself over
a kicker win. Right?
I said the same thing, that a kicker win.
A kicker goes deep more times, And Steph Wisniewski is now back.
Yes,
with the
Steph's
Eagles,
back. Recently, fantastic.
Which is cool. Yeah. So hopefully, he was hitting some bombs too.
Yeah, he's.
But that is May 31st. It's at 6:30. People can still get tickets, imagine, right?
AO1 Foundation, AO1Foundation.org. Those tickets are still available. The food truck's going to be out there beforehand. There's going to be a lot of stuff going on beforehand. Get your ticket. Bring your kids. Bring your friends. It's a great time. It's no pressure. Just come on out. It's a great day for family.
See if Nelson Aguilar strikes out again. it's fun. It's fun to see football players trying to swing a bat.
It is.
And a lot of those guys have some talent, and the guys who don't, you're like, man, it's softball. It's low pitch softball. What are you doing? So
say hi to me at the truck.
Absolutely. You're gonna be at the truck
for a little bit.
Hanging out there. All right. Awesome. Shaq Mason, guys, was a 4th-round draft pick by the New England Patriots in 2015 out of Georgia Tech. He is the team's starting right guard, and he started now in 3 Super Bowls. 4 seasons in the NFL. He's been to 3 Super Bowls, started in 3 of them, has 2 rings. The only one he lost, though, refresh my memory, Doug.
I think that was Super Bowl 52, right?
Super Bowl 52. I can't remember who they played.
I think that was our Philadelphia Eagles here.
Eagles?
I think I'll claim that too. Yeah.
So that was the only one Shaq Mason was on the losing end of. Shaq last year was the highest rated right guard by Pro Football Focus, and that came after he received a 5-year, $50 million extension, which is great money for an interior lineman, and he certainly earned it. I spoke to Shaq briefly about his faith. Here is that conversation.
Shaq, you've been blessed with the talent to reach the NFL, be a starter on a Super Bowl champion, but you always managed to put God first and give him all the credit. On your Twitter bio, it says God, family, football. How do you make sure you always give God the credit instead of yourself?
Because, you know, God's the focal point of it all. You know, without him, there would be no, you know, NFL, no me, you know what I'm saying, playing for the Patriots. So, I mean, he's deserving of, you know, the amount of thanks he gets from me, because without him, there's no me. And I just make sure, you know, I thank him as much as I can every day, you know, and, you know, let chips fall where they may.
How are you able to put aside temptations that may come for guys like you who are in the spotlight and being a professional athlete? It's a lot different than just being a normal everyday person. How are you able to use your faith to keep you grounded?
Really, you know, it's not as much as the temptation as far, you know what I'm saying? It's just like, going about things the same way. You know, it's not really just being in the spotlight now that just changes everything. You know, it doesn't change who you really are, you know, so that's...
We know that if God doesn't pick and choose who wins a game, a lot of times you hear players after a game say, I want to thank my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and people say, well, you know, isn't he helping the other team? But you guys are really just thankful and happy that you have that platform, that opportunity. Can you talk about that a little bit?
Yeah, it's never. I mean, like you said, the Lord doesn't pick and choose who wins ball games, you know. I mean, he knows who's won them already. But, you don't wish to go out there and – win, you know, that's not something you know what I'm saying, pray for, but you just pray for things, you know, like staying healthy or just thankful for the opportunity, you know, just to go out there and play another down, you know, thankful that you're in the NFL, thankful that, you know, you get to be a platform for younger kids, things like that. So,
like, did you grow up in the church, or was there a point in your life where you started to come to Christ?
I always grew up in the church. You know, ever since I can remember, I was a young kid going to Bible study. So that's just the way, you know, family was.
How does that help you when you're constantly in the Word, when you're going to Bible study, when you're around other believers? How does that help you maintain your focus?
It's nice to have, you know, that brotherhood within the team that, you know, a lot of us are. We have a big group of guys on the team that are, you know what I'm saying, we have Bible studies and things like that, and that's a good thing, you know, to have those guys to lean on, and, you know, we're all working towards one common goal, and we're all in the same situation.
Thanks, Shaq. Appreciate your time.
Appreciate it.
That was New England Patriots right guard Shaq Mason. We'll talk about the interview next on Faith on a Field Show, presented by Karen University.
Located in Langhorne, Pennsylvania, just 25 minutes from Philadelphia, Karen University is the right place for students to get a dynamic experience centered on Christ and His Word. Students are equipped professionally, personally, and spiritually, and make an impact on the local community and surrounding cities. Karen is close to everything that matters for future educators, pastors, social workers, entrepreneurs, musicians, and more. See if Karen is the right place for you. Schedule a visit today at karen.edu/visit.
Welcome back to Faith on a Field Show, presented by Karen University. Rob, Doug, Remy, and Pastor Kyle, we just heard from Patriots right guard Shaq Mason. I want to discuss some of his thoughts. He said at one point, he said, God is the focal point of it all. Without him, there is no me. I love what he says there, that God is the focal point of it all, because sometimes we start to give ourselves too much credit, and it's easy, especially in professional sports or when you're having tremendous success and people are showering you with praise and glory, to accept it and believe you've achieved all this success because you're so great. But God really is the one who, he gave us that talent. He put us in that position. And Shaq is showing that he recognizes that. He appreciates that. He understands that God is the focal point of it all. And another thing, we hear a lot, God first, right? We hear God, and you've talked about this before, Kyle, instead of God first, if God is the focal point.
Yeah.
See, it's not God first, but if God is the focal point, as Shaq says, if we make God the center of everything, not just first,
But if he's the center of everything, then it's not a matter of putting him at the top of our list. Like, here's our priorities. God is number one. God, family, football. God, this, this, and that. A lot of times we're all guilty of doing that. But if he's the focal point of everything, if he's in the center of it, if it's living our lives and doing everything with him as the foundation, then every thought goes back to God. Every word goes back to God. Every action goes back to him. Every single thing we say, we think, and do goes back to him.
Yeah, it's, you know, look, what we focus on, we give power to, right? Yeah. So when we're the invitation I think that God gives each and every person is to find me in the midst of every moment. Mm-hmm. So it doesn't matter whether it's football or family or at the grocery store or, you know, driving in the car. Mm-hmm. He literally is saying, find me in this moment. Yeah. And if you focus on me, you'll have power. So whatever we focus on. So, you know, you were saying yesterday, Rob, you're eating better, right? So, you know, you're up there and they say, oh, there's cheesesteaks available. There's pizza available. If you were sitting here going, I can't have cheesesteaks. I can't have cheesesteaks. I can't have cheesesteaks. Sooner or later, you're going to go have a cheesesteak, right? Yeah, yeah. So that's what we do on diets.
One on one that calls you right there.
Correct. I can't have this. I can't have whatever you focus on, you have power to. So that's in this process. That's why it's not just trying to have good priorities. It's actually finding God as the priority in every circumstance.
I like that analogy where God's the focal point, because if you think of it as a circle, you know, if God's not in the circle, then he's just one of the other things on the outside.
Yeah, right? He's got to be in that middle of that.
He's got to be in the middle. But if he's not in the middle, then
he's the bullseye.
Absolutely. So if he's not there, who is? It's probably us.
Right.
Right. And so then it does become about me. And then all of those other things. God's just a piece of my job, my hobbies, my family, church, whatever else it is. God's just another piece, as opposed to the bullseye, the focal point. It changes your perspective on everything else in life.
Yeah, the thing about priorities are that we'll keep our priorities as long as the pain is manageable. The moment that the pain gets non-manageable in our life, we change priority. So that's why it's like, oh, I'm going to diet. I got to get healthy until the pain of I really want that ice cream and that chocolate sundae, right, becomes too unbearable. Yeah. So it's the same way. That's why when we keep
a list. Pain, like physical pain.
No, right, exactly.
Oh, it's painful when you want ice cream, you don't get it, okay?
I don't think there's a problem with that, right?
We're just talking about the ice cream truck. I'm there.
I'm so excited.
I'm coming for that.
I have to get in the gym. But no, I think we have priorities until the pain becomes too great, and then we change. And that's why it's not about keeping a priority. It's about making God the focal point of life.
I used to be, and I'm guilty of this, many years ago, I used to say this, and people can't, I'm going to illustrate it to you guys, they can't see, but I put my hand up, right, and I'd go, this is me, and this is the world. And the world, and I draw a circle, and I go, this, and the world revolves around me. Like whenever somebody, and I would say that to people, I literally would. You didn't know me at that point. That was before you came into my life. But I would sit there and go, this is me.
Miracles happen. Hallelujah.
And this is the world, and it revolves around me. But my life now.
Then I came into your life, and I became the center of your life. And
you're still not the center of my life. God is the center of my life.
But
you're a major part of it.
That's right.
And I appreciate it. The other thing that Shaq said that I wanted to discuss is being in the spotlight doesn't change who you are, and it shouldn't. It really shouldn't. Being famous, having wealth, status, all that can inflate our egos, but it happens to so many of us. But if God is the focal point, going back to what he said earlier, we can stay humble. If God is the focal point, we can treat people as equals. Like being around these athletes and celebrities and some people who think they're celebrities, especially in the media, as much as I am, as being around these people, nothing bothers me more. It like just irritates me when I see people act like they're better than someone else because of the position that they're in, and it you know, like the world places higher value on you because of your status or your job title. The other day I was walking out of the bathroom in the press room and I rolled up my paper towel and I use my paper towel
to open the door.
Oh, okay,
that's my brother. I got it. Right. Me too.
So now once I do that, I still have to throw it out.
Yeah.
So I rolled it up and I threw it out. I'm not really good at basketball, and I missed. I missed the net. I missed the basket. So I walked over, and I picked it up, and I throw it out. And this happens a lot to me. I throw it, and I miss. I might make like 10%. Like my three-point range is awful.
Take it with you, at least, and you're then shooting, throw it in a basket outside of the
But I want to make that shot.
Just keep shooting, though.
So
that's good.
Right? I walk over. I pick it up. and I throw it out. And someone following me out says to me, they pay people to clean up in here. What are you doing? Wow. That attitude wow. irritates me, because a custodian gets paid to clean a bathroom doesn't
you
mean that that we should be okay. yeah, we should trash it and like the urinals and the gum that you spit in there and the way people Agreed. Leave public toilets, like, because somebody cleans that up means you're gonna are you gonna do that in your house? And right. that mentality
really good, Rob.
That irritates me, and we're out of time, so we're gonna leave you on a bathroom note. Thank you. All of our listeners
Clean
and followers.
We all understand.
Big thanks to our guest today, Shaq Mason. Huge thank you to Pastor Scott Foreman for his excellent work on our website, podcast, blog, everything he does. And we want to shout him out and congratulate Scott, because he earned his master's degree from Liberty
awesome.
University last week. So
Fantastic.
Thank you for all he does, and congratulations. Thanks to Jim Henderson for his work behind the scenes. Thanks to Brett Kronberger and Ryan Lennox for producing the show. Thank you to all of our sponsors and 610 ESPN Philly, 107.5 Live, Joy FM Sports for airing Faith on the Field show presented by Karen University. For Kyle, Doug, and Remy, I'm Rob Motti, reminding you, make a difference, be a blessing.
Located in Langhorne, Pennsylvania, just 25 minutes from Philadelphia, Karen University is the right place for students to get a dynamic experience centered on Christ and His Word. Students are equipped professionally, personally, and spiritually, and make an impact on the local community and surrounding cities. Karen is close to everything that matters for future educators, pastors, social workers, entrepreneurs, musicians, and more. See if Karen is the right place for you. Schedule a visit today at karen.edu/visit.